What if the very organ meant to protect you became the source of your suffering? Consider this. Two people face identical circumstances, a rainy morning before a major event. One spirals into anxiety, the other feels calm anticipation. Same rain, same event, radically different mental states. The difference isn't in the weather, it's in how their brains construct reality. Mental health isn't simply what happens to us, it's what our brains actively build from the raw materials of experience. This construction project never stops, and understanding its architecture changes everything about how we approach mental well-being. We've been taught mental health is reactive. Good things happen, we feel good. Bad things happen, we feel bad. This is incomplete. Your brain operates as a sophisticated prediction engine, constantly generating expectations about what's coming next and comparing predictions against reality. When outcomes exceed expectations, you experience pleasure. When they fall short, disappointment registers. This is measurable brain chemistry. Research on dopamine neurons reveals something startling. These cells don't fire when you receive a reward, they fire when you receive an unexpected reward. Once your brain predicts something pleasurable, the dopamine response shifts to the cue signaling the reward. This explains why the first bite of chocolate feels transcendent, but the 10th feels ordinary. Your brain has updated its model. This prediction machinery operates continuously, shaping your emotions, physical sensations, pain levels, and immune responses. Mental health emerges from how accurately and flexibly your brain predicts and responds to the world and your internal bodily states. Ever felt hangry, irritable because you're hungry? Your stomach doesn't directly create anger. Your brain interprets low blood sugar and, depending on context, translates it as anger, anxiety, or simple hunger. The same racing heart could mean fear, excitement, or too much coffee. Your brain constantly solves this interpretive puzzle and doesn't always get it right. The gut-brain axis operates as a two-way highway. Your stomach's contractions influence how disgusted you feel by unpleasant images. Your gut microbiome, trillions of bacteria in your intestines, sends chemical signals affecting mood, anxiety, and cognition. Specific bacteria like fecal bacterium correlate with better mental health, while bacterial depletion tracks with depression. When researchers artificially increase inflammation in healthy people, depressive symptoms emerge, not from life circumstances changing, but from the body's chemical environment shifting. This challenges medicine's split between physical and mental illness. Chronic pain and depression share overlapping brain circuits. The brain doesn't distinguish between physical pain and psychological distress. Both activate similar neural networks and respond to similar interventions. Your mental state affects your physical health, and your physical state shapes your mental experience in an inseparable dance. In 1950s experiments, rats with brain electrodes pressed stimulation levers thousands of times hourly, ignoring food and water to near death. They weren't experiencing pleasure, they were experiencing wanting, a crucial distinction that revolutionized our understanding of motivation. Your brain contains separate systems for wanting, driven by dopamine, and liking, involving opioids. You can desperately want something you don't like, or like something without wanting it. This explains addiction's torture. People crave drugs they no longer enjoy. It explains why some Parkinson's patients on dopamine medications develop compulsive gambling or hypersexuality despite devastating consequences. Their wanting system has gone haywire while liking remains unchanged. Motivation sits at mental health's foundation, yet it's often overlooked. Without sufficient drive, even abundant joy opportunities remain inaccessible. Depression's hallmark isn't just sadness, it's the crushing absence of motivation, making getting out of bed insurmountable. This distinction explains why different treatments work for different people. Some need pleasure systems recalibrated, others need motivation circuits jump-started, many need both. Antidepressants increase serotonin within hours, but take weeks to improve mood, not because they fix a chemical imbalance, but because they retrain emotional biases. Depression makes you interpret neutral faces as angry and ambiguous comments as criticism. Antidepressants shift these biases almost immediately, making you slightly more likely to notice positive information. Over weeks, these small shifts accumulate, tilting your entire worldview. Therapy works differently. Cognitive behavioral therapy systematically generates prediction errors, moments when reality exceeds pessimistic expectations. When someone who's been isolating attends a social gathering and finds it less awful than predicted, their brain updates its model. Accumulate enough positive prediction errors, and expectations recalibrate. Brain imaging confirms this. Antidepressants primarily affect the amygdala, emotion processing, while therapy changes the prefrontal cortex, conscious regulation. They're complementary tools on different circuits. Most fascinating, placebos work even when people know they're placebos. Deep learning systems associate medical interventions with improvement below conscious awareness, allowing you to simultaneously know something is a placebo and still benefit. Every effective treatment works partly by changing expectations about what's possible. We've become obsessed with labels. Depression, anxiety, ADHD, autism, as if these categories represent distinct biological entities. They don't. Most people with mental health challenges meet criteria for multiple diagnoses. Treatments labeled antidepressants work for anxiety, pain, and eating disorders. Instead of asking, what diagnosis do you have, we should ask which specific brain processes are disrupted and which interventions might address them. Culture shapes how we experience mental health. Hysteria, a prominent 19th century diagnosis for women, has vanished as a label, yet the symptoms persist under different names. Social media hasn't created mental illness, just as the waltz didn't destroy 19th century minds, despite similar moral panic. The future lies in personalized approaches, targeting specific processes rather than diagnostic categories. Why does one person's depression respond to medication while another's requires therapy? The answers lie in individual differences in brain circuits, learning histories, and biological vulnerabilities. We're moving toward treatments matched to individual brain signatures, recognizing that your brain's unique construction requires an individualized blueprint for reconstruction. Your brain constantly writes your reality, and you have more editorial control than you realize. This isn't motivational fluff, it's neuroscience. Every experience, treatment, and deliberate practice changes your brain's predictive models. Therapy retrains these models. Meditation strengthens emotional regulation circuits. Exercise triggers neurochemical cascades rivaling medication. Even gut bacteria respond to dietary changes, sending new signals that influence mood and cognition. The mental versus physical health division dissolves under scrutiny. Your thoughts trigger measurable immune responses. Gut bacteria influence anxiety levels. Expectations about pain literally change how much it hurts. Chronic pain, depression, inflammation, and trauma involve overlapping neural networks responding to both biological and psychological interventions. The old model, mental illness as broken brain chemistry requiring lifelong medication, is crumbling. Emerging is something more hopeful, recognition that your brain remains plastic, capable of change, responsive to diverse interventions, from targeted medications to lifestyle modifications to psychedelic-assisted therapy. This doesn't mean mental illness is dismissively all in your head. It means everything in your head is real, measurable, and potentially modifiable. Your brain constructed your current mental state, which means reconstruction is possible. The tools exist. The question is whether you're ready to rebuild your balanced brain, one prediction error, one expectation shift, one small victory at a time.